produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good day, Saints. Hope you are well. Let me remind you again, in case you are full of hopelessness and despair, the Lord is good. The Lord is great. The Lord is gracious. He's faithful. He's merciful. Praise Jesus. He loves you beyond your understanding. He loves you even when you are not convinced that God is still right there by your side. Praise Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name. Oh, mighty man of all, praise Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who restores us, he will rebuild us, oh God, thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be worshipped, he's worthy to be praised, thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Daddy. There is absolutely none like you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to tap into this worship. Ooh-wee. I'm overwhelmed by your presence, oh God. Who can stand before you, oh God? Unless they have clean hands and a pure heart, oh Lord. We lift your name, we lift your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There's nowhere to hide, there's nowhere to go, and there is no way we can just turn against our God. Praise Jesus. He's the only one who can fix things. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. If things do not go the way you have planned or isn't, or you have been praying for years and years and years, uzibuze imibuzo, uti why is this not happening? I want to encourage you. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 17 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Mbonge, mbonge, mphefumulo wam, khawumbonge uJesu. Mororise, mudimi asahlolenkeletho, mudimi alerato, mudimi amosa. When you pray without ceasing, God is busy. Yesterday I said from the book of Isaiah, he is penetrating the camps of the enemy on your behalf. He's doing it. Thank you, Jesus. I read Isaiah 33. Praise you, Jesus. And then he comes like a mighty ship. Praise you, Jesus. And what he does, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He's the one controlling the radar. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one saying, manje seguzo saila mina. Babonila bantwana bamba saila. Ngama ships, ngama boat. Praise Jesus. And somehow they were drowning. They were drowning. They were drowning. But basugume futhi bathatha ama oars. Thank you, Jesus. Trying to push this thing. Trying to push it. Going on the other side. I can see ukuthi namaphupho wakho uyaphupha mhlawumbe ukuthi uyagijima kodwa awufiki lapho. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord is saying, I must tell you today, He has seen the injustices in your life. The Lord has witnessed your pain. The Lord has witnessed your struggle, your frustration, your scorns. People have been scorning you, but you can't go and and mocking you. Lo muntu uyakhuleka, lo muntu uyathandaza kodwa hayi. Impilo yakhe ayifiki. Lalela la. God is saying, now I'm taking charge. I'm that mighty ship in the book of Isaiah 33. I'm sailing. You know what? I'm pushing this thing for wena. Awudingeki namandla mina ngiyamuva on your behalf, praise Jesus. I'm penetrating the camps of the enemy for you. Forget about those oars. Bengivumile vele ukuthi uzisebenzisise. Excuse me. Bengivumile vele ukuthi you must use those oars. Masokwana ao. Ha ntse o le ka hara sekepe na sa o sa hao. Modimo re ne ke dumela vele hore o a sebedise. Hore o tlo tia incorrect. O tlo tseba hore he mane. Ha ke hlolea hona le motho. Praise Jesus. Ha ke hlolea hona le motho. Kgosi ya dikgosi. Praise Jesus. So ke dumeletse hore di entse. Why pray without ceasing? Why pray without ceasing? It's because I wanted you to see. Hore, one shock. I want to appreciate you, my son, my daughter, for praying even when you didn't see anything. I want to appreciate you, my daughter, my son, for pushing even if you didn't see anything. For me, it was me building your character. Remember the scripture that says, for character, you know, for suffering brings patience. For patience which builds character. Character which leads to hope. Hope which doesn't disappoint. Praise you, Jesus. So Nkulunkulu was saying, mina, when there are no benefits for your journey. There are benefits. Praise you, Jesus. You thought you can go to other people and ask for imvela piyako. Ubabuza kutu ya gupi. Lalela lana, mina Nkulunkulu. Senya akjela na mtlanje ngiti. Sekupelelisisiwe. Mina dala, ibuga, injustice. I want you to read Isaiah 21. Unkulunkulu ya kuluma nagu Isaiah 21. Dale luge kuluma na mga le scripture. And I didn't understand. But God is saying to you today, I've seen the injustices, but I want you to know that I'm about to give you justice, and I'm giving your enemies judgment. I'm giving your enemies judgment. No one else will help you to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give them judgment. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Here comes the mighty ship. There is no effort from your side. Ukhulekile, ukwenzile konke. Unkulunkulu athi qhubeka wena. Pray without ceasing. But this battle is not yours. Ngeke ukwazi ukuyinqoba le battle. Yimi kuphela engizokunqobela yona. Wena phusha uyanqoba. Igama lakho umanqoba. Praise you, Jesus. Nyukupha amandla. Hey, praise you, Jesus. Modimo are ko rwesitse matla. Hallelujah. So ke batla go khothatsa today. Ke batla go khothatsa today. O bohloko re o batla mosebetsi sa o thole. O bohloko re o batla lenyalo sa le thole. O bohloko re wa kopantsa nkare ka ntlo, nkare ka koloi, nkare etsa soko heso, nkaetsa ho sa kopana. O bohloko ke injustice at least sanki e mobe. O bohloko o be pregnant ka wealth, o be pregnant ka ntho tse ngata bophelong ba o pathe. Di sa be teng. Ho na le di-prophecies tse tswileng, but o sa pepe ngwana wa hao. Ntate Modimo a re ke bone pregnancy e tlileng as a result of nna. Ko rwesitse dintho. O re before you were born, I already knew you. Praise Jesus. Modimo a re bona, nna se ke le teng ka sebele. Praise Jesus. Ke a o lokisetsa jaanong. Para ko lokisetsa glory ha etla ho nna ke qala pele ko lokisetsa ka hore ko bontse justice ho ba o ba ileng ba o etsa hampe. Hey, ba o yentse hampe ba bona mpho ya hao ba bona hore o tla ba bothata maphelong a bona ba o yetsa hampe but ke re nna ke tla restore go the book of Joel tso hle tsenkileng ho wena ke tla di restore in the name of Jesus ka matla ibileng le ka quality hallelujah di locust tseo di kenka wa mtseo di great army tseo tse tlileng di hanka di a inkela fela di a invade icho jo le sa 21 ba kena ba invade ba inkela ntate mo di mare ke tla restore ngwanaka ke di bone di keledi tsao wa iputsa re wetsa halam ke batla o jotsa re vele ke buloi in the spirit onketswe in the spirit ba re mo di mare ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ke a gotlisa ene ke batla gore o qale o bue ke batla o bue o be ngwana wa ka o tla bua mantse a positive mantse a power ara didn't give you a spirit of fear go feel the spirit of love power and a sound mind Ooh, Erike blessed, ki delivered, ki delivered. I'm sanctified, I'm redeemed, I'm restored, I'm the child of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, bua dintho tseo, tibue, tibue. O ska dumela motho a bue ka wena, but wena o sa bua. Wa nkutlwa re kereng. So Isaiah chapter 33 kopa o e bale nka se kgone o e bala today but ke re wena e bale because modimo wa bua mo ene le ko chapter 60 o le a bua le rona modimo I think it was in verse 5 a ke sa bue maaka a re ha o se o bona se ke setsang you look and be radiant o tla ba radiant sefahlego sa o se tla phaphama gobane o phaphama jwang pele wa utlwile bohloko moya wa o robegile modimo a re your heart will throb and swell with joy imagine a pelo ele ya hao e ke bileng ka yona maobane ko Isaiah 21 hore pelo ya hao ha ebe in the heart's king in the king of God's hands ha ebe mo and so that you are able to God is able to take your heart to the direction I batla. O bone manene wetse matsonga mangata, babamba professor, babamba itsang, tate mdima re tlakwana ngwanaka. Wena kere your heart will swell, will throb and swell with joy. Imagine a pelo ya iruruga, Isaiah chapter 60 verse 5, irurugiswa gore modimo sa wentse hantle. E sa hlelo rurugiswa ke bohloko. Bona modimo remove poison, ke season e ke buang ka yona. Naonache, Murimu is doing a great thing in your life. Kia ujweza, the beneficiaries sita lefala hao. Base baemi, Murimu saba beile are. Kiba oba naba hao. Kiba oba naba oba tsweti moyeng, liba oba tsweti na menge. Kiba o your family members. Baile nguhore ba struggle today because of your situation. Ooh, Murimu is restoring you. Murimu is restoring you. Wena rapela, rapela. Don't stop. Don't stop. In Jesus' name, I love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name, may the Lord hide you under his blood. May you stay in his secret pavilion. I cover you with Psalm 91. You are blessed. Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is mighty. Hallelujah. He's gracious. Is great, praise Jesus. Who can be compared to this God that we serve? Remember, from the previous days, we've been talking about his promises that are yes and amen. When he said he will do it, when he says and when he said he will do something, he certainly did and he will certainly do it. Praise Jesus. And today, I just want to remind you of the fruit of the Spirit. Yesterday, we touched base on patience and forgiveness to say, growth in the kingdom of God is not based on the knowledge of the world, but there are principles, you know, there are methodologies. The methodologies, they are being, you know, conducted by the Holy Spirit. Praise Jesus. Jesus being the center of it all. Praise Jesus. So what happens? You need to understand who are you and why are you pursuing God? If you don't understand who are you and why are you pursuing God, then you'll find yourself following any other king. Hallelujah. You'll follow any other king, especially when you see where things are not going according to your expectations. You'll say, why has the Lord forsaken me? Why is God taking care of certain individuals? But why is God not saying anything to me? That is a voice of someone who says, I mean a man, so siyakhathala ngoba singena relationship noNkulunkulu Praise you, Jesus. So I want to talk to you today. Who is leading your paths? Praise you, Jesus. Who is your Jehovah Rohi? Who is your shepherd? Hallelujah. You know, when you read the book of Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says the heart of the king is in God's hands. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. It means the heart of a king is a sandlen sakankulunkulu. When a person wants to know which direction I ought to take, what must I say? What must I do in these challenging seasons? Then this person begins to see God moving, you know, before them. Praise you, Jesus. But God cannot do that if inhliziyo zethu singavumi. I want to challenge you today. Uzamile konke. Uzamile konke. May the Lord be the one who's going to lead you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can say that to the Lord and say, Lord, ngikunikeza inhliziyo yami. Ungihole. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Uthi, my heart is so stretched. My heart is bruised. Ngilimele, Nkosi yami, ngilimele. Kodwa ngiyakudinga. Thank you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. He is the lover of your soul. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. Gore le wena o ipotse dipotso pele ya ka e holwa ke mang. Ntotse ke dietsang ka fela ke mang o mphushetsang ko tsona. I'm saying this because in these perilous times, in these difficult times when the economy is speaking, you know, hopelessness. The economy is also a principality. It's saying to us, now I'm going to take a downturn for a long period. And when it takes an upswing, I don't know. Maybe when we are talking about death, no, I'm talking about spiritual death, where your faith would have been challenged to such an extent that you follow other gods. You know, I was just reflecting this morning, and this is what was led in my spirit. In these difficult times, when the scripture says the love of many shall grow cold, it means people would have started with God. You can't say ke rata Modimo o sa rate batho ba gae. You can't say o rate batho but o rate Modimo. So when your love grows cold, it means you started with what? With God. You removed, you know, yourself from the plug. Because when you are connected to the plug, a gona taba gore go etsa galang around you, but the plug gives you, the electricity gives you this ability to strive, you know, against all odds. Remember, Maban Rite, the joy of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And we say, his ability, praise you, Jesus. So his abilities can only be measured through the interaction with his Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. So, Utabona, what I'm talking about, many people will turn to other gods. And talk of lele gore what are other gods? Satanism. I'm going to mention it. People will be so cruel, so jealous, so angry. You know, when you are angry, when you are jealous, all those things, dear tank, the fruit of the flesh, and the enemy will come. Atolor uturin tota high. I'll bless him more and more and more. Be careful. Then I'll bless her more. That's why Modimo are in the last days, knowledge yaka, it la increase, it cover the earth as the water covers the seas. Knowledge yaka, nakita wikin tite nete, marka tibore. Darkness, wabona ichoko Isaiah 60. See, darkness and thick darkness covers the earth and it covers the people. Hey, but my glory rises. So, kina ko sentiri prepare kwa yona, ube careful hore ukokale mang ingi, ube careful hore ure manga urapelise ingi, ube careful hore, you know, ulela kai, uko wipu tole mwana mutimu, uko utsibe yo altar hore, kirapela kwa kai, kibuwa le mang, uweza ala ingi. Kabane, sometimes people that you think they will be listening to your conversations, but la dinka,
Barches says, Utlar u dream and check an anchor. Lankutla Kerembahites. Diabo in the body of Christ, Diabo, Ripilamona Kungetata, Ripilamona Kungalore, Ritanta Ritibor, Kiman Kosia, Kosi Moreno, Amarena, Ritibor, Rikopa Mang, Ritamale Mang, here, Sevilleta Mang, and Ritama, hey, praise you, Jesus. So, Piluya, how I see plucked in the Holy Spirit, Kaublella. Kaujeta, pilot lotama e jumpa jumpa jumpa, matsoho ka matso a mefuta futa, amang matso a shebahala akare a warm. And wena ha o tsebo e malotso go leng kagale le mofutu ka nteke le tso lona le letlo pressam pilo ya hao le tetebatse pilo ya hao o thole se tetebane se tletse o ipotsa re wetsa lamba thunga ke mo painting wetsa lang kanti he e mapelo ya hao we feel matso a wrong. So my best advice ke re ifa pilo ya hao Modimo ha ibe mo matsong a Modimo ibe yena etsang a itsamaisang wa gona utlwa ka re pelo ya ka re ba heavy a etseng a tlose boima bona hallelujah a utlwa ka re pelo ya ha o ka re ya ruruga Modimo a etseng a gutsetse back a re ngwana ka bona be still and know that I'm God. Hey man, be still and know that I'm God. Praise you, Jesus. Modimo a bona ka re pelo ya ba tlo jumpa jumpa o ka re ba tlo mosia a re bona the devil is like a roaring lion, you know, he's looking for someone to devour. O ska jumpa out of my hand, stand still, stand still. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, there are times when you feel like, you know, my heart is so cold. My heart is so cold, Daddy. My heart is so cold. Why am I not loved? Why is there no one coming across my path? Why is no one saying I want to marry you? Why is no one saying I yes to my proposal, or can I marry you? Why didn't Totaka di Saka Sakana? Why when I tried to be stable in relationships, didn't you say Sama and Tatimdiwa, Tlakwano, Tlakwano, be still and know that I'm God. Tlakwano, Tlakwano, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Ulibeti, the height, the depth, the width, hey, the length of my love. Ukaskonui mejara, that's how much I love you. Kurata lao sanrate, kaukurata lao ntibeti, naki dule mole 24/7. My eyes are working to moving to and fro. Go shebile ke rengwana ka kiole. Haka atla fela. I'm watching you day and night. Le ge ba gotlisa botlhoko bona batho ba o ba rengwana ba rata. Nna ngwana ka ke o rata o fitisisa. So ke batla o jetsa today. Whatever is in your house right now. Ona gana gore ha ona yona. Kopo yo ko moratuo wa hao Jesu. Jesu ke moratuo wa hao. O re ke kopa ong fe provision. Ke kopa ntshongwe lengwe ikopang. Ha ona kutsa winter how na di aparo tsa winter how na enough furniture how na eng bona nthengwe lengwe sna nyona a ke go di tlwaela mo lefatsheng so ke mang o re tshwantse o emele wena ha di nthodi le right di kopane how na ntho tshwantse kopane ke Jesu a kopantsang or I'm the way and the truth and the life. Praise you, Jesus. I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. It means bona in my Father's house there are many mansions. Nthengwe lengwe e batlang e tla ho nna. Praise you, Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you greater things that you never knew of. Ungakali, ungakivapi. Whether you are tormented, kwenzakala empilweni yakho, mina nguNkulunkulu ngizolungisa. Woza kimi ngane yami, khalela kimi ngane yami. Ngibonile konke, ngibonile injustice, yothando empilweni yakho. Ngibonile ukuthi ufile ngathi wena you are not worth it, but I'm telling you, in you feeling unworthy, mina ngunkulunkulu ngiyakubona uyazibuza ukuthi abantu abakhuthazi abantu bakushiye unjalo abantu kwenzakalani. You've got so many questions. God says be still, hey, be still and know that I'm God. Be silent ngoba what I'm about to do, it's beyond your human comprehension. Nkulunkulu says to you today, ngiyakuthanda, I've loved with an everlasting love. Aurata mwanaka, ntsepe, 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 ntsepe. Hallelujah. Pina ire, kina ya letsware lang, kina ya lifurisang. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Kina ya letsware lang. Murimu tla utswarele. Hano sete mebi pilu ay jampile kene matonga wrong. Murimu kina ya lifurisang. Murimu tla ufurisa. Don't worry. bomme ba leng platformong le sekabela tshwenyega gore bana ba lona ba ko kae ba le lebetse ke re ba bang le ba godisitse spiritually ba bang le ba godisitse in the biological manner ba bang ke bana ba moyeng praise Jesus hona le bomme hona le bontate mona hona le bana mona hona le ba ausi mona hona le ba buti mona ke batla o jotsa ke re modimo o teng o re ko jotsa today o re se mo sa hao a se motshose o fitisitse batho ba bangata ba le mo seemong se ba sena next ntate modimo ba etsa hantle ke kopa hore o morate tonight o kope fela tshwarelo modimo kopa tshwarelo o doubta and o tla mmona o tlo etsetsa mohlolo I love you and I appreciate you stay blessed.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jerzy Lair. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They pay and plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the Word of God. And who is the Word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the Word become a flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, I am the life. But again, in John, he says, I am the bread of life. That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So another way, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the weight that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. And then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual thirst that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is. so that we do not test for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to bring things that reveal our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our test for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think that now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We've got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we've got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we've got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and said, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen, to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions We launched into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with lookalike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we are thankful for this time again to have the privilege or to be privileged with this special moment of devotion. Please keep us in your prayers and our family members too, as we also pray for you. Let us keep each other in prayer, and especially through these tough times, we never neglect the truth, and this is the truth that sets free. We always remember whose we are, and we always honor God's word. And in speaking about the truth, before I start, let's also pray to are working at the background, or behind closed doors, actually. Yeah, that's the correct word. Those working behind the scenes, and their family members too. If you're a person of truth, I don't know why there seems to be persecution, or if you are an ambassador of truth, that turns to be the way of, I don't know, retaliation in some kind of way against you or yourself and your family members. So keep us in your prayers, and those who are making all this great privilege of having devotion with you possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking about truth, isn't it interesting that the world has found it very easy, actually has found it as a norm to lie. They even have a special term called a white lie. lie that you know. It's okay. It's relatively, or it has become a norm to get by. But the same world, which is scandalous and which is forsaken and is full of all debauchery, when you lie to them, they also don't appreciate lies. How hypocritical. Or, I don't know, what's the word called? Such great hypocrisy. It's interesting that anything opposite to the truth is of the devil. But the same people of the devil don't appreciate lies. It's okay when they do it, but when it's done unto them, it's a different story. When you lie in your CV, it's called fraud. What? Fraud? And there's a serious charge against that. Now, in our country, when you lie about your qualifications, they've taken harsher measures to deal with those perpetrators. But then we live in a world where, with these same liars, they have lied about history. And that's fine. They have dictated how history was, but in the, you know, according to their books, but then will never really tell you the truth. You hear that whites are the ones who found South Africa, and there were no blacks on South Africa. What nonsense is that? You hear that whites found America, and they disregard the Native Americans, which are the Red Indians. I'm sorry if that's a racial slur. I'm South African. I don't know what's the term for them. What do we call them? Native Americans. Yes, Native Americans. People lie about history. People lie about inheritance. People lie about a whole lot of things. People even lie to their children. I mean, these people who believe in racism have been lied to. These people who base their lives on racism have been lied to. But it's funny. It's funny how lies are. It's okay to lie only when it's on your terms, but to be lied to is a serious offense. But you know, here's the thing. I don't advocate for any form of lie. I prefer the truth. Although, here's my concern. Is that how are you in the body of Christ? How have you adapted to this norm of the world, which is lies and deceit? You bring half-truths. That's still a lie. Now, that's what you call deception. There's some truth, but you take some details out of it. That's why in court, you are all to tell the full story. And you are also, what? Put an oath or sworn an oath to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. For when you lie, it's a criminal offense. I mean, it's a serious offense. It's a serious offense. Why are you also required to also speak the truth on your CVs? To speak the truth on applying for a loan or a home loan, a car loan, a home loan, a personal loan. It's funny. People love the truth only when it suits them instead of loving the truth as a whole. There can't be lies in between. That is of the devil. But now here's my concern. Again, I say to you, how are you in the body of Christ? How have you adapted to this so-called norm where it's okay to lie? There are good lies and there are bad lies. Aren't lies lies? Here's an example some wise preacher stated or explained, talking about deceit. And he said, he leaves his home and he goes to the grocery store. But then, along with going to the grocery store, he goes to other places, probably the bottle store, and meets some bad company on the way. Spends time with them, and then returns home. And when his significant other demands account for what he did in his day, he will say he went to the grocery store and returned home. That's the truth, but guess what? It's half truth, which is called deceit. Why doesn't he mention he went to the bottle store and he met bad company on his way there and spent his time with this bad company right before going to the store? That's what you call deceit. And that's still a lie. Now, that's a matured lie that is much more dangerous when it has a pinch of truth in it. That's how the devil operates. What are the lies the devil sells you? Enjoy your youth. You could always come back to God when you're tired. This lie that it's only the old who die. I don't know which world you live in, because we're seeing a lot of toddlers being buried. We see a lot of young people hitting the grave. When I was younger than I am now, there was a stat in South Africa that the highest age groups of death is between 18 to 25 years of age. Now, where is old age and all that? Because you're still technically youth. You have not even passed the age of 35. Between 18 and 25. You're still a baby. Or they call you a young adult. And that's a lie the enemy sells a whole lot of other people, that you have all the time to go back to God and to make right with Him. Enjoy your life now. Seize the moment. You can always come back to God when you're wretched and where there's nothing left to give, for He's gracious. That's a lie. Speaking of young deaths, it reminds me of a story of this young man who was devoted in the Lord, a very intelligent young man who was talented. So he spent all his life serving the Lord and loving His ways, the ways of the Lord. So, as brilliant as he is mentally or academically, he goes places, you know, he makes money and he has a promising future. But then until he decides someday that this life of godliness and all that is meant for all people, let it rather find you when you are almost half past dead, not while you're still young and fresh. Let him loosen up a bit, enjoy life, and then he'll come back to the Lord after 2 years. So, his brethren in Christ plead with him to not give in to that deception. That look, he comes from humble beginnings and he has made something of himself and he has a bright future ahead of him. Don't throw your life away over this lie that you can always come back to God and you can live anywhere anywhere you desire to live because you're young. But obviously, all those warnings and pleading with him, or please, fell on deaf ears, or lack thereof, no ears at all. So, truly, he goes his way and he ditches the ways of the Lord. He takes a break from his studies and he's drunk. But now, until this evening where he was involved in a car accident and how the car came about to be in an accident or how it was in the scene of the accident, it looked so gross, man. It was something else, something you really can't get used to seeing. And in the process, one of the metals of the car was in his head. So now they couldn't use any jaws of life or anything. I mean, it was a critical situation. I mean, because this thing is stuck right into his head. So as the medical staff that was on site was waiting for backup, he started fading away. He started falling into unconsciousness. And he passed on. And from what we hear, it didn't look like he had enough time to confess of his evil ways unto the Lord and to come back to the Lord and to go back into the ways of life. And he died. So, I mean, it's obvious where he went. Don't try and be new age about it. Don't tell me that God knew his heart, because God knows all of our hearts. But there's still people burning in hell to this day. Upon rejecting Lord Jesus, you are going to hell. God knows your heart, yes. Although, do you have the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you have the truth in your life? He knows our hearts, yes. God knows everything. There's nothing that happens that catches God off guard or by surprise, really. There's nothing that surprises God, be it on the sphere of life or on the other side of life or on any sides of these billion galaxies, or even in the spirit world. Nothing catches God by surprise. Did God know this young man's heart? Obviously he did. But was this young man right with God? Well, you know the answer to that. Stick to the truth, which is Christ. Do not entertain any form of lies, especially those who use the Bible for lies. The Bible I read tells me to discard them and to not associate with them. Cut them off. But we've seen churches in our days, they host such kind of creatures. You just keep deceiving people and more of them. And some of them, and this lie I hear, that no, but I mean, if we all reject them, how would they know the truth? They know the truth. By virtue of not changing, it means that you have set it in your heart to resist the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible say the Holy Spirit is waiting at the door of your heart, waiting for you to let him in? You cut such liars out of your life, yet alone, associate with them. Or else you face risk of falling into their patterns or their ways. And the fall of man is not instant, it's gradual. When you start questioning certain verses of the Bible, when you start questioning what happened to the other books that are supposed to be in the Bible, is that any of your business? Those that lie are not of Christ, and they'll never enter into God's rest. They'll never enter into God's rest. Does the Bible say, blessed are you who don't sit in the seat of mockers, on the council of the wicked? You are taking chances. Not even Christ, God in the flesh, found it in himself to associate with Pharisees and Sadducees. Yes, he went out, he reached out to the lost. But here's the thing, reaching out, not keeping company with the lost, and those who know too much for their own good. Yes, he ate with tax collectors. Yes, he ate with sinners. Why? Because those are the lost sheep, a potential lost sheep that could be won. And that when the master finds, he will celebrate. Eh? Doesn't it say in the Bible, he will leave the 99 sheep in the field when one is missing and go and find the missing one. And as he finds the missing one, he'll put it on his shoulders and go and make a feast. For this sheep was lost and now it's found. Or like a woman with the lost coins, with her coins. She misses one. Won't she light or put on the lights of her own house and sweep until she finds the coin? And then she finds the coin, won't she celebrate? But that's the thing, those that are to be won, not those who are there to win you to the kingdom of the enemy. Stick in the truth, for the truth indeed shall set you free. Let us open up to the book, John chapter 1, First John chapter 3, verse 18. First John chapter 3, verse 18 reads as follows. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in action and in truth. Exodus 20, verse 16, reads as follows. You shall not testify falsely against your neighbor. Now that's his lie. John 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John 16, verse 13. And they said to her, woman, wait. No. John 16, verse 13. Sorry, wrong chapter. 16, verse 13. Reads as follows. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will disclose to you what is to come, which is what? The truth. Don't be a hero. Stick to the truth and discard anything that is not of the truth. And those company of people who lie, I advise you, stay away from them, lest you yourself turn into a liar.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chi Kotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
To you all, this is Pastor Anna Makana from South Africa. This is such a blessing to reconnect with you again on Finding My Way Radio Network, and the program is refreshing time, and I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit and renew your mind through His Word today. Today I want us to talk about the topic, rest in God. Rest in God, and just know that God is fighting for you. We need to rest in God and be at peace with ourselves, be at peace with God, to stay calm and give God all our worries and then rest. So that is what we're talking about today, to rest in God, to be at peace, to be calm. Not because of everything is going well, not because of everything is running smooth, but because we know that God is in control. And our key verse is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 84. It reads as follows, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. And we need to understand that in everything that we go through, God sees. You have to understand that in the situation that you are in right now, God sees and God hears all of our prayers whenever we pray. And God desires us to be free in every situation that we come across. It is in the desire of God that as much as we come through a lot of things in life, but He wants us to live in peace, not because of everything it is well, but because we know that God is in control and that the situations that come into our lives, they are not permanent, but is a temporary situation. So we need to understand that we need to find rest in God, and we need to trust God in everything. We need to just learn to give it all to God, to surrender our problems to Him, to surrender every challenge, every hard time. We need to surrender all to Him. That's what God wants. He wants us to understand that He has a role to play in our life. And His role is to give us freedom and to give us a peace, the inner peace within ourselves. Yes, it does not mean that as we are the children of God, then we won't come across certain things in life. We won't come across quite a lot of things. In fact, if we read the book of Job, we will realize that Job, he was a faithful servant of God. He was faithful. He trusted God with his life. But God allowed Job to go through certain challenges in life. And we need to understand that it does not mean that if we are his people, then we won't face challenges. Because challenges, in actual fact, they make us. Challenges, they are there to build a character. Challenges, they make us to be strong people that we are today. And we need to understand that we have to go through certain hard times in life so that we can see God and understand him in a better position. So Job, he allowed Job to go through a different time. When we read the book of Job from chapter number 1 to chapter number 42, when Job he was restored fully, then we realize that Job, as much as he went through so much in life, he trusted God. He had confidence in God. He had confidence in the ability of God. There is no time in his life where he felt like God has forsaken him, because he understood that God will never leave him and God will never forsake him. And we have to understand that in the midst of our storms, in the midst of challenges of life, we have to be in that understanding that God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. And God will continuously come through for us. God will see us through. He is the one who will make a way when we see as if there is no way. You know, I think this is what made Job to remain at peace and to be at calm, knowing that God, he is in control, knowing that God, he can make a way where there is no way, knowing that God, he is the hope for the hopeless. Job had confidence in the power of God, that even if when he was going through a difficult time, losing his loved ones, losing his businesses, losing everything around him, and losing even his dignity, you know, there was no time that he once felt that he was left alone. Hence, we find him saying, I know my Redeemer lives. And we need to remind ourselves in time of a storm and in time of difficult times, that we have a Redeemer, and our Redeemer lives, and our Redeemer sees, our Redeemer hears, and our Redeemer wants to see us see. So the verse that we read says, I have seen the oppression of my people. God has seen the difficult times that you've been through. God has seen your pain. God has seen your suffering. God has seen your oppression, and his desire right now for you is to set you free. And how is God going to set you free? God set us free by sending us his way. He set us free by giving us an assurance that he is there with us. There is no way that God can leave us alone. In fact, when we read the word of God in Isaiah 43, verse number 2 and 3, the word of God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you up there. So we need to be at peace as much as we want to go home, as much as we don't know how is it, how changes that we need to be at peace of mind, knowing that we are never alone. God is with us. Whenever we go through us, God is there with us. Whenever we go through the fire, God is with us. And that should give us a relief in our hearts and relief even in our minds, knowing that God, he is there with us. When we read Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry. Yes, there might be challenges that you're going through. There might be difficult times that you are faced with right now. But the word of God is encouraging us not to worry. Not to worry. Cast every worry unto the Lord. Let every worry be... cast every worry unto the Lord. Let God carry every burden that you are carrying. And once we learn to do that even if we are faced with difficult times, let us have that moment where we need to sit and think of the things that we're going through, and to understand that it is not for us to find solutions to fix everything that we are faced with, but it is for God to do it on our behalf. So it says, do not worry about anything. Even though the situation may seem like it's stronger and it may seem like there will be no solution tomorrow, but you need to be at peace and say within yourself, God is in control and God will never fail us. So do not worry, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And this, to me, it says to me, we need to learn to just cast everything unto the Lord and leave it right there, because immediately you give it unto God. You don't have to keep on thinking and thinking over and over about it, but give it to God and hand it over to Him and leave it right in His hands. He knows what to do with our challenges. God does not want to see us carrying heavy burdens, but He wants us to give Him our heavy burdens. And He wants us, when we go through a difficult time, James chapter number 1, verse 2 says, consider it all joy whenever you are faced with trials of many kinds. God, when we go through a difficult time, He wants us to consider it all joy, to rejoice in Him, to rejoice, to know that He is there. And He is there, not just there to watch us, but He is there to set us free. And we need to remind ourselves constantly that God sees, that God hears, and God sets free. And God will not look at you, just look at you and not do anything. But God wants you to trust that He is God. He wants you to trust in His ability. He wants you to trust that you cannot fix it all, but He can fix it all for you. We don't have to carry our heavy burdens. We don't have to carry our marriages anymore. We don't have to carry the challenges we are faced with in our marriages anymore. But we need to cast every issue that we are faced with in our marriages to Him. And God will see us through. We don't have to go through the financial difficulties alone. We don't have to try and find solutions by ourselves. But God says unto us, come to me, and I will give you rest. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28, it says, come unto me, all who content God. God wants us to be at rest, not to wrestle, but to be at rest. When we sleep, we must sleep at peace and wake up in peace. That's what God wants from us, to be at rest. So He's making an invitation to everyone. He says, all who are weary, you can't take any more overwhelmed. He says, and He has opened His arms wide open for you to come unto Him, and God will give you rest. Rest and to live at peace. As a calm, calm of the storm, and see God as a powerful God, even in the midst of the storm. This is my book that I mean. It's because in the midst of the storm, Job found peace. He had peace in mind, peace in his heart, peace in his spirit, and peace in his soul. And God was. Our surrounding, our environment must be full of His peace in the midst of the storm. And that's from within us. We need to believe it within us that we are never alone. We need to believe it within us that if God opens an invitation to say unto us, come unto me, He wants to give us rest. And He wants to carry the burdens on our behalf. We don't have to carry the burdens anymore, but God, we have to give them all unto the Lord. I know when we go through difficult times, sometimes we tend to believe we are alone. Sometimes circumstances might be so too much on us, and we believe that God cannot see. We believe that God cannot even hear us. Sometimes we believe God has forgotten, but you need to get that out of your mind, because it is not true. The truth is God sees you. God hears every prayer that you make. Some of the prayers we can't even make them as we want them to be. But sometimes we just sit there and we just cry. God can analyze even our tears. And that's what brings joy even into my heart, to know that God can read our tears. God can read even our prayers. Sometimes we don't know how to even express ourselves, how we feel exactly about the situations that we go through. But there is a Holy Spirit that is there to plead on our behalf. And immediately we have peace, and the Holy Spirit has pleaded on our behalf. We need to be addressed in our spirit. God. is there and he is concerned of our well-being. He is concerned. He wants to see us happy. He wants to see us at peace. He wants to see us living a life that is free from worries, and it is possible. It is possible to live a life that is free from worries. You just have to train yourself and your mind to say that I have a big God who is able to carry me, my family, everything of mine. You need to trust him like that. Each and every day, give yourself a time where you sit with God and you tell him all about your worries, all about your challenges, all about your issues, all about your frustrations, all about your confusion. Make that time each and every day and just tell God how you feel about the life. Be transparent with him and you see the peace that you will experience in your life. The peace that will flood your heart, will flood your mind, will flood your body surrounding. The reason why we are not at peace is because we don't cast everything unto him. We tell him, we tell him that God, this is what I'm going through. But afterwards, we still want to go through over and over again. Immediately you give it unto God, you hand it over to God, leave it right there, because God knows exactly what to do with our challenges. With Job, we see Job that he went through a difficult time, he went through a rough time. But he understood that he is never alone. He understood that God is always there with him. And he understood that God, his faithful God, he keeps to all his promises. And he understood that even whatever that he's going through, God knew about it before it even happened. And we need to understand that, that everything that we are faced with even today, knew about it. God knows about it. God knew about it. Way before it happened, God knew about it. And there is sufficient grace for us even whenever we're going through such a difficult time in our lives. God wants us to trust in him. God wants us to rest in him. God wants us to rest in his presence. Psalms 91 verse 1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever lives in the presence of the Lord, live in the presence of the Lord every day. When you go through a good time and whenever you go through a bad time, live in the presence of the Lord. Never leave the presence of the Lord, but dwell right there where God is, because where God is, the word of God says there is freedom. Where he is, there is joy. And we need to train ourselves to say, I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Because when we dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, then we will find rest. There is rest when we dwell in God. And God wants us to live in his presence. I think this is why David said in Psalms 23, that the Lord is indeed my shepherd, and I shall not want. And verse number 6, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he understood that goodness and mercy, peace, and everything else will follow us when we dwell in the presence of the Lord. There is rest for me and you in the presence of the Lord. And we need to understand that God, as much as we go through a challenging time, we shouldn't leave the presence of the Lord. We shouldn't think our friends can help us more than God. But God should be the first we run to. Everything that we are faced with, whenever we want to report something, God should be our first. And when God has spoken over our lives, there is so much peace and there's so much comfort and there is so much assurance that we are never alone. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that when we go through challenges, let us dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Let us find ourselves in his presence. Let us praise, worship him. Let us pray in his presence. Always spend time in his presence, then we will find ourselves. always contact with Christ. And that is what having rest in Him, having in Him, and living joy. The verse in James 1, verse number 2, for one to see us rejoicing, even when we go trials, when we go through them. He wants us to come with joy and know whatever challenge that has come through your life, it is just for a moment. And it is just for a moment. It is not there to stay forever in our lives. And God wants us to live it and to believe it. Remember that God, in everything that you're going through, whatever that you are faced with, the difficulty that you are passing through now, God is aware. God sees. And God hears you. God will set you free from that situation. But you need to trust in Him. You need to give it all unto Him. You need to surrender it unto God. It does not matter how complicated it may seem. It doesn't matter if it looks like it will not be resolved. Trust that God will be able to handle it. God wants to carry your burdens. God wants you to make Him involved in your daily life. When we read Psalm 27, verse number 5, the Word of God says, "For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His secret tent and set me high upon the rock." In the day of trouble, you need to know that God is not going to just watch and leave you there. In the day of trouble, God hides us. God keeps us safe. He is our hiding place. He is our place of safety. And God wants us to understand that whenever we go through something bad that is happening in our lives, we need to get to understand that I'm left alone, but He is with us. There is rest in God. There is rest in God. There is rest in God. And that's what God wants us to do. Be at peace, child of God. Be at peace. You are not alone. Be at peace and trust. Be at peace and know that God is in control. Know that God, in the midst of that storm, know that God is right there with you. And He wants to love you right there in the storm. He wants to comfort you. He wants you to put His presence all unto Him. Let Him carry the burden unto you. The Word of God encourages us to cast our cares upon Him, because God cares more than any other person that we know. And we need to fight in that, to know that He cares, deeply cares for us, and He deeply loves us. So whatever situation that we come across, we have to have this understanding that God cares deeply for our lives. The seasons we have, there will be seasons where it is a season of joy. It is a season of great breakthroughs in life. And there are seasons that will come across, the seasons which are the seasons where we're experiencing tough times. But when we experience a tough time, surrender every situation unto God. Surrender everything unto God and leave it safe in His hands. God will see you through. There is grace that is so much sufficient for me and you. And the grace of God will see us through every challenge. Every time we feel that we are running out of strength, God is there to renew our strength. Whenever we feel like we are hopeless, He is there to give us hope. Whenever we feel like we are now losing our faith, God is there to increase our faith. And He wants us to let us involve Him. Let Him be part of our life. Let Him be part of our journey. Let Him be part of our day-to-day life, decisions that we make. And let Him be involved every hour, involve God in the issues of your life. There shouldn't be a moment, or there shouldn't be a challenge where you take it that this one is too small for God, this one is too big for God. There's no challenge too small for Him. There is no challenge that is too big for Him. He can take it all, and we need to hand it over, and hand it over to God, and keep handing it over unto Him so that we may be peace and at rest. We verse number 7. It says, when we do not worry about anything and learn to pray about everything, verse number 7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, will guard your heart and mind. May the peace of God guard your heart, and may the peace of God guard your mind. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We surrender it all unto you today. We surrender our marriages. We surrender financial difficulties. We surrender all hardships, the temptations, the trials that we are faced with unto you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you give every child of God the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Let your peace be over their mind and over their body and over their soul. Let your peace fill their environment right now in the name of Jesus Christ. May your peace touch their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name.